It's showtime.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
Washington is fundamentally corrupt. There are more words in the IRS code than there are in the Bible.
Made in America, heard around the world. You're listening to Blunt Force Truth. I'm Chuck Woolery, in case you didn't recognize me. And this is my co-host, Mark Young. And we're, you know, Mark, it's really funny. I was watching a tape on California, what was going on there with the homeless and just all the problems they have. They're massive. And when I lived in California, it was on its way, but it hadn't got here yet. And it dawned on me, wherever Democrats rule in cities and states, L.A. is kind of the poster child. Now you got L.A., Seattle, Portland, I mean, a lot of other cities.
San Francisco's a mess.
San Francisco. And so what's happening is something I've been saying for years, and I don't think many people really believed it or paid attention to it. And that is, in order for a socialist society to really work, there's one thing you have to get rid of. Can you name what that one thing is?
Well, for socialism to work, you got to get rid of jobs. But I would say the big thing is you got to get rid of faith.
Well, that's part of it, but that's not the main thing. The main thing they want to do, and you hit on it with jobs, is to literally talk about how you're going to save the middle class while totally executing them. I mean, these people who are middle class and can afford to leave California are all getting out of there. And when you get these liberal states like this, these progressive states who really are basically socialist states with nobody to stand up against them, they have no Republican Party there even to talk about. Even Ronald Reagan was a minority when he was governor. They've always had a governor every now and then. But now with Jerry Brown and this new guy, Gavin Newsom, is that his name? Gavin Newsom? Yeah.
That's the guy.
Yeah. So, and here's the tip off. If you go to the website for LA and you look at the reasons for homelessness, you will find everything but the main driver of it. Mm-hmm. And you will find everything that they will take responsibility for. And of course, they blame the Republicans, which there aren't any there to blame. But opioid addiction is the main driver, and it's the one thing that is left off the list. They will not even acknowledge that that's there. So as you see all of these things, it's always been said when I lived in California that California was wherever California goes, that's where the rest of the nation goes. So my whole thing is I believe that there is a plan abroad in this nation, starting with California, to lead us into a socialist nation, and they are the primary example of how it's going to go. And the American people are going to have none of this, I don't think. But it is complicated. There's no question about that. It's far more complicated than just opioid addiction and everything else. But the complication is the thing that people have to really be careful about, and I want to talk to my, you know, Democrat friends, is that as long as your party continues to talk about how they want to prop up the middle class and they want to give them $15, designated by the federal government, a $15 wage and all this kind of crap, it is nothing but a design to kill off the middle class, because it's the only way you can have that ruling class and then an underclass to support them, because the underclass will support them because everything they have is going to come from the ruling class.
Well, Chuck, think about, first off, the $15 an hour. If these guys spent as much time learning new skills as they spend out protesting $15 an hour, they wouldn't need to have a $15 an hour minimum wage.
But you're missing the point. That's not what it's about. It's a propaganda tool in order to get rid of the middle class. You get rid of the middle class by doing this.
You get rid of the middle class, but back to the $15 an hour thing for a minute. We've discussed this on the show before. There is a direct relationship. Anytime the cost of labor goes out of balance with the cost of production, industry invests more of its money in automation. So the more you push this $15 an hour thing, the fewer people will have those jobs.
I know it's, like I said, it's a little more complicated than just saying it, but I'm telling you, that's the end result. That's what they're looking for, is to get rid of the middle class any way, anyhow they can. And they will never admit it any more than they'll admit that the opioid addiction is really the fundamental cause and drive, driver of this homeless situation. And most of those drugs come from where? They come from Mexico. And whose open border is Mexico? All of California, all of their leadership is for open borders and accepting them into sanctuary cities and everything else. And along with that come all the opioids, all the fentanyl, all the heroin, everything else is either channeled from China through Mexico, but its ultimate destination is the United States. And they literally just, you know, of course they can't admit that because it would kill them. So they have to, you know, deflect it in another way.
Well, look at, I mean, we talked about this. Drew Penske, Dr. Drew, has even come out and said that the homeless issue in California is now a health hazard because of spreading diseases.
Rats. We have diseases that didn't crop up since the Middle Ages coming into California.
So do you remember, I got to ask this, I'm going to make a little lighthearted homeless humor.
Oh dear.
So you got to wonder, how do you find humor in homelessness? There is humor in homelessness, and here's where it is. Do you remember when your then wife gave away a bunch of your clothes in LA?
I actually did that.
You gave
them
away.
My then wife didn't do that. I cleaned up my closet.
Oh, you did. Okay.
And I had tons and tons of polo stuff that was older that I'd had for a long time. A lot of it I hadn't worn. And so I just went through one day and cleaned up my closet. I had bags of polo stuff and other nice clothes that I'd either gotten too fat for or whatever, and shoes. And so I dropped them off in this little place where the homeless always hung out. And I just put the bags there and left them alone and walked away. And that was in Venice, California at the time. And like 2 weeks later, we had the best dressed homeless people I've ever seen.
I'm telling you, homeless guys walk around with Armani shirts.
That's right. It was kind of funny in a way. Yeah, it's fine. I got in trouble one time because I was on some show that I was doing. I don't know what it was, and I referenced Santa Monica. And if you've never been to Santa Monica before, it doesn't run up against the beach. It runs up against Highway 1, but it's elevated by a cliff. And then there's a park right at the end I can't think of the name of the street. But anyway, as you drive right to the end of Santa Monica, you run into this park that's beautiful and all of these incredible buildings and everything else. And of course, it's adjacent to Venice, California. And I referred to it once as the home of the homeless because there were tents every place. And this was back in the 80s and 90s. They were all, you know, and my comment was they stack up there because the ocean is in their way and they really can't go any further. So they just begin to stack up. Well, they're stacking up all the way back to the entire city of L.A. now.
Look at any aerial shots of California.
Oh, yeah. It's sad.
You see tents all down the sidewalks.
Yeah, how do people live like that? I mean, for a year. I mean, forget a month or two, but for a year. And then these RVs are all parked on the side of the road. I don't know whether they run anymore or not, but, you know, it's amazing what's happening to our country and what we're allowing to happen. And it has nothing to do with a $15 wage at all.
But think about it, folks. What do you want to have the government that wants to, when you look at what's going on, when you look at Bernie Sanders and a bunch of these other people, and I'm going to do a little in-depth talk about Bernie today. All of this fighting for $15 an hour for a livable wage. This is a party. I'm building on your idea that they need to get rid of the middle class. This is a party that is trying to condition a country to say, this is the best you'll ever be.
Hey, listen, my wife owns a barbecue place outside of Texas. I'm not going to mention it or anything like that, but I'm going to say she owns a big bar. It's big. Seats like 165 people. It's really big and extremely successful. She works there 7 days a week. Okay. Do you know what her help who work at the barbecue place, who put it on the pit, who bring it out, who cut it up, who wait on customers, you know what the average pay she pays them on average?
I would bet and say she's paying probably $17 an hour.
$21 an hour.
$21.
And people stay with her for 15 years, 10 years, because number one, it's good pay. They're worth what they do. In other words, you know, let the marketplace decide. And she still makes a profit. So it's not, it hasn't put her out of business.
But look at this nonsense. AOC, first off, we know that AOC drove Amazon out of New York.
You think they'll fire her for that? When the 2020 elections come along, you think they'll look at that and go, okay, is her opponent going to be smart enough to say, okay, this is how we run the state. This is how we run our district.
Well, let me share this with you. New AOC poll. So they did a poll of 2,200 people in her district.
Mm-hmm.
She has a 21% national favorability, 51% unfavorable. In her own district, only 10.75 of the voters, 10% of the voters think she has their best interest. 33% says she does not. And 33% said that they do not want her. And only 13% say they would vote for her.
Now, the only problem with what you just said is, if you want to believe those polls early on, then you have to believe all the other polls early on about everything else. It's way too early for this.
It is, but I'll tell you why these polls make a little more sense. The reason these polls make more sense is because when you're looking at, you know, let's say Biden-Trump polls, you're saying, you know, this guy's 40, this guy's 45. You're looking at numbers here of 10% approval ratings for a seated congressperson. That's pretty hard to overcome.
Do you honestly believe in your heart that Biden will be the nominee for the Democrat Party?
I just don't know, Chuck. I mean, he is.
I don't think
he seems. He seems so tired on the trail, doesn't he?
I just don't think he's going to be the nominee. I really don't. I could be wrong, of course, but it just in my gut, it just doesn't feel like he's going to make it. I don't think he's going to make it, and I don't really care who makes it. I'd love to see Elizabeth Warren or one of those real far left people, you know, make it. But I don't think. I was looking this morning at Trump's thing in Florida. He's opening his 2020 run. It is I forget what the name of the place is in Florida, but it seats 20,000 people. They had the Amway Center. They had 100,000 requests to have tickets there. People have stayed there what will be up to 3 or 4 days in tents, speaking of homeless, in tents and everything else, waiting to get in if they possibly can, or at least watch the monitors outside. And in the meantime, you have everybody else in the Democrat Party running for president announcing, and they're lucky to get 100 people.
So Eric Swalwell just held an event.
30 people, didn't he?
He had eight.
Eight.
He had eight people showed up for his big story about how he's going to ban all guns. Because if Eric, check this out, if he's elected president, he's going to ban all these military assault weapons we're all carrying.
Yeah, which aren't military assault weapons, but go ahead.
But that's the point. Yeah. He's going to ban military assault weapons.
You know, they have to suspend history and they have to suspend all reason and rationale in order to make their point. They have to. Well, and that's what they do.
Klobuchar says that one of the first things she's going to do when she's elected president is she's going to pass a law saying all government contracted employees have to make a $15 minimum wage. Now, here,
of course,
but here's the thing.
They probably make more than that as it is.
Contracted government workers are subject to what's called prevailing wage laws already. So the lowest paid person that's ever working on a government project is probably $22 to $30 an hour now.
That's what I mean. It's not real what she's talking about. It's not real what any of them are talking about. They're talking about this utopia in California that they all dream of. This is what they're all talking about, and they won't admit it.
So, Chuck, do you think somebody like Swalwell, who is out there begging for a dollar, do you think with all the millions of people that keep tweeting this guy saying you're an idiot, military weapons were banned in 1935, do you think he doesn't grasp
that? No, they didn't say that. They said automatic weapons are banned in 1935, not military.
But those were the real military weapons.
I know. I understand that. But they had Thompson submachine guns, which really wasn't, well, I guess it was a military weapon for a while.
Right. But there's no military weapons unless you're going to count a 1911 Colt, you know, semi-automatic pistol as a military weapon.
Well, yeah, sure. It's been used since 1912?
Right. The Navy still carries them.
I know.
So I guess you could call that a military weapon. But if you're going to say that's a military weapon, then you're basically going to say you're going to just ban guns altogether.
You know, it's I look at this and I'm old enough since I just turned 78. I'm old enough to look back on history and look at it and see where it was and what's happened and how things have changed. And you know, I don't want to wax nostalgic here, but it's not that I want to go back to the 50s or I don't want to go back anywhere. What I want to do is go back to the Constitution. That's what I'd really like to go back to. And I think this is one of the points that most people are missing because the Constitution has been so abused by our administrative government. And by the way, that's another thing, Mark, that everybody keeps talking about the deep state and the deep state does this and the deep state does that. And no one can really address who in the hell the deep state is. But I know who it is. It's really not the deep state. It's the administrative state. And here's what's basically happened. Congress, the House, who passes all the laws, who are responsible for those laws, who have to run on the laws that they pass, and of course they never live under the laws that they pass, but they have to run on them. And so they don't really pass that many laws anymore. What they've done is they've allowed the deep state, or what we call the administrative state, to usurp their authority through all of these different departments. And so they pass laws, rules, and regulations that we all have to live by with absolutely no accountability whatsoever. Just none. None of them have been elected to office. They'll never be out of office. And the interesting thing about it is regimes may come and go, whether it's Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter. They are always there. And the Democrats have been very, very clever in stacking the deep state, just like they've stacked the judiciary, with all of their people. They are anti-Trump people. They're anti-Republican people. They're anti-constitutional people. They are pro-big government. That's what they do. That's what they live for. It's what they depend on. They know better than you do. They're the ones who are making all the decisions. They're the ones who started this whole collusion thing with Russia. They're the ones who perpetuate all of this crap. And people have no idea what to do about it. It's very frustrating if they finally get to the point where they've pulled back the veil and looked at it and seen what these people are and what they're capable of. It is just truly amazing how frustrating it is and how helpless as a citizen you feel, because they literally will kill your vote. Whether the Democrats win or the Republicans win, it doesn't matter. They're still there, and they're still doing damage to the country.
Well, not only do you have that, Chuck, but you have this in the world of tech, too. So you look at this podcast. Now, this podcast right now, we put out over Podcast One and over right. iTunes. Mm-hmm. But we also do today's show on Twitter.
Right.
Now, we're going to stop doing this show on Twitter. It's going to be the last time.
By the way, folks, Mark knows all about this stuff. I just show up and talk. I have no idea what's going on in the background.
So we're going to stop doing a show on Twitter, and I'm going to tell you why, Chuck. When we started this show on Twitter, mm-hmm. we were running 60, 70,000 viewers.
Right.
Okay, now Twitter is choking off our viewership.
Well, of course.
They're limiting the viewership because they don't like the message.
They always kill the messenger. They always do.
So you know, want to...
They are the monarchs. They are the monarchs of today's modern technology.
So I do want to encourage people to go to iTunes and subscribe to Blunt Force Truth, or go to the Podcast One app and subscribe to the show there, because we're going to stop doing it here, and we're going to do it. And the reason we're going to do it only on Podcast One and iTunes is because we have the freedom to tell the truth without being limited.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And that's why we have to do that.
Yeah. It's like if we were on Facebook, we'd have the same challenge.
Same problem if we were on YouTube.
on YouTube. And who owns YouTube?
Google.
Thank you.
So things are, but I'm going to tell you, Chuck, the pendulum is swinging on socialism versus capitalism and conservatism. You know what happened in the past month with elections in Europe.
Yeah,
we saw a lot of swings to the right.
Yeah, and of course they're calling it the populist extreme nationalists. They always identify it as that when they get beat.
And there's nothing wrong with being a nationalist.
Well, no, but they always, you know, when you say nationalism, the left immediately applies that to Hitler.
I understand, but
just
you know the real
you say it.
But the real meaning is
just standing up for your country,
care for your own country.
Exactly.
And I love my country, and I hope that people who live in other countries love their country.
I was watching Mike. I can't think of his name. He's on CNN talking about what's happening in Iran and how we need to go to our European allies and we need to make up with them. And I'm thinking, make up with our allies? What are we falling out with our allies? And it dawned on me that yes, we have. And the reason we have is we don't allow them to pick our pockets anymore. We're not allowing them to have the money that we used to give to all of them and just turn a blind eye to it. And so now our allies are just a little bit hesitant. I mean, there are more anti-Americans in Britain than there probably are in the state of Massachusetts. I mean, they just don't like America at all. And for various reasons, one is because they're socialist. France is socialist. Italy is socialist. I mean, Germany is socialist. Spain. I mean, you just go down the list. It's they have nothing in common with Trump because they're all socialists and he's not. And Obama just kind of went along with the whole socialist thing. The Democrat Party is primarily socialist and has been for 100 years, and no one will pay any attention to that and think that that's just hyperbolic, and it's not. You have to look at the history of it. Social Security, which is going to basically, you know, kill itself, is FDR. Medicare, which is going to basically kill itself and kill the country off, is Johnson. Johnson probably did more damage with the administrative state than any single president in our history, and no one knows it. But nobody cares. Nobody cares about this stuff. And you got to find the root of the problem in order to cut off the root so the tree doesn't grow back. And no one's really interested in looking at the root of the problem and where it comes from, what it's born out of. It's always born out of we're morally superior and we're going to help people who are in need. Tell me one more time, just for our audience, since it's that last time on Twitter, just tell me one more time, how was Social Security sold to the American people?
Well, when Social Security was originally created, the purpose of it was for widows.
How could you possibly be against that? And
it was sold for widows
and orphans.
Widows and orphans, and the average person collected 6 months before dying.
Exactly.
Because life expectancy was a lot shorter.
And what has it grown into? Look what it's grown. It's grown into an unfunded liability that is just, I mean, it's trillions of dollars.
Well, I mean, you look at Medicare. The Medicare fund is going to go bankrupt in 7 years.
Right. But nobody's paying attention to that either.
Which is why Bernie wants to put the whole country on Medicare.
Yeah, of course. Why not? Yeah, then the whole country can go bankrupt and they can have complete power.
Right.
Then by the way, folks, that's the point. That's the point. When they start selling their ideology, it is really to decimate America. They won't say that, but their ideology will say that if you pay close attention to it. And once they decimate us financially and every other way, and they can do that, you know, pretty easily, we're on a brink. $22 trillion in debt right now. You're not going to make that up overnight. So the closer they get to that, the closer they get to their ultimate goal, which is to rule, not to govern, but to rule. And they can do that.
You look at when you think about nationalism.
If I heard myself talk like this 20 years ago, I would have shot myself. You know, I can't believe I'm saying these things and I believe them, but I know they're true.
Get off my lawn. Yeah. Anyways,
seriously.
Nationalism is the perfect model of capitalism. When you look at capitalism is two strangers getting together and cooperating to their own self-interest. So I want to buy a TV. I go to Walmart. Walmart has the TV I want. I agree to the price. I trade my money to Walmart. Walmart gets to sell a TV. I get what I want. Everybody's happy. I don't need to have a relationship. The government doesn't need to force it. Nationalism is the exact same thing. We can all be good neighbors, but as the president points out, I'm always going to do what's best for the U.S. first.
Why do you think that people on the left, and they're revered for this in the mainstream media or in the media, why do you think they are open borders people? They don't want borders north. They don't want borders south. They don't want America to be borders. They are globalists. They think it's one world. We should all live together in peace and harmony, which we never did and never will. But why are these borderless people, why are they so popular? I don't get that.
Because the function of the left right now is to make this country ungovernable.
Exactly. And how do you do that? By the influx.
Flood it with crime, flood it with illegal aliens, ruin the middle class, take away people's rights, create a police state.
Kill the economy.
Right. That's how you do it.
While saying you're building. I mean, can you imagine that there are Democrats out there saying, I saw on CNN today, because I do watch CNN just to see what they're saying. And they'd found some baker in somewhere in Ohio. I don't know where he was, buried in a town someplace. And how awful it was, and they weren't reaping any benefit from this economy at all. Can you imagine? You can always find somebody somewhere to say things like that.
But there are people who are just bad business people.
But they're promoting it. I mean, they promote it like that's the norm, which is typical of the left-wing progressive media. They always take the minority and promote them as a majority, and most people buy it because it's all they see.
Well, folks, I want to give people hope. I want to give people good news. When you look at, I want to give you a juxtaposition. President Trump has 100,000 people trying to see him launch his presidential campaign for 2020. Bernie Sanders had to do 44 stops to reach 100,000 people. Yeah. Eric Swalwell only can get 8 people to show up for one event. Now, Biden can't turn these numbers out either. We see what's going on in Europe. We see the swing to conservatism. Now, Chuck, I want to point something out to you here.
I think, but let me interrupt you just a moment. I think Soros is missing the boat. You see, I think Soros should pick the candidate he wants and then start flooding it. Instead of flooding people across the border and paying all these illegals to come across the border, he should divert some of his funds to all these Democrats and have them come out and see who he chooses as the leader of the Democrat Party.
Well,
because it's the only way you can get them out is to pay them.
So let me interrupt you interrupting me.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And say that George Soros is spending his money right now in local district attorney battles.
He's been doing this for years, Mark. He's been trying to get local people from the ground up. You're right, with district attorneys, people like that. It's all judicial, all of it. They want to rule the courts.
Right. So what Soros is doing is he's funding people like the district attorney in Chicago who let Smollett off.
Yeah, when you hear these crazy things that these district attorneys are doing, those are Soros people.
He just funded a district attorney who won in Pennsylvania, who on election said, we're not going to enforce the law anymore.
Right.
So the way that Soros is trying to get control of the country is if he can get all of his own people in the district attorney's office, then he can change the laws of the nation without having to legislate it. Right. Because he can get the law enforcement people to do what he wants. This is so freaking sinister. It is unbelievable, but brilliant.
It is brilliant, but it's sinister. Yeah, it's cunning. And by the way, Obama did the same thing by just saying, well, we're just not going to enforce that law.
Well, he's doing it on a city by city basis. So now if you're a Hollywood celebrity and you want to fake a hate crime, it's okay.
Sure.
Because Soros is going to let you off. And that's how Smollett got off, by the way. I
know.
It's George Soros.
I know. I don't know if it's a sad commentary or what it is. And I realize that most of our people are busy working and raising families. I'm not sure they really know how bad an influence George Soros is in our country. And the conniving, cunning, brilliant subversion that he's up to. I mean, I just don't know whether they know about it or not. I wish they did. And of course, you can't fill your entire day with this stuff. But thanks to you, I have to.
It gets back to you may not care about.
He started me on all this, folks. I didn't want to do this. He's the one that got me started.
Kicking and screaming. Well, as you've said before, you may not care about politicians, but they care about you. Oh, yeah. And it's not the kind of care that you want.
No, they don't care for you. They care about
you. So the Supreme Court, Chuck, the Supreme Court kicked out the ruling on the Oregon bakers who refused to make the wedding cake for the lesbian couple.
Well, they kicked out the Oregon bakers or they kicked out the lawsuit against or for them?
They remanded the case back down to the lower court saying that the case is wrong, that the case was decided wrong.
Mm-hmm. So who was it decided in favor of?
Who dissented on that? I'm looking. I don't have the list of who dissented, but the reality is this is the pendulum swinging the other way now. This is the pendulum coming back.
It's in favor of the bakery is what you're saying.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now we go to Oberlin College where the courts awarded them $44 million.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. This was a totally made up attack. I mean, they attacked these bakers. They literally attacked them, you know, physically attacked them, stole things out of their bakery and then turned it back and said that they were racist. And the college, this is a bakery that's been around since what, 100 years?
It's been around a long time, generations.
18 something.
And did business with the college.
With the college. But this is where our colleges and universities are today. They have these small groups of dissenters who are literally running the administration, who is sympathetic to them out of fear that they're going to be targeted.
Now, you know what happened to the dean of that college, of Oberlin College?
Well, she's the one, and I say she, correct?
Yes.
She's the one that supported them and, you know, went against the bakery, right? What happened to her?
She got promoted to be the dean of a bigger college.
Well, of course. That's right. It's like, I'm not going to say that because I'm offend an awful lot of people. And then I've offended enough by just opening my mouth and saying hello. So I'm not going to do it.
So according to CNN, now this is how CNN reported on the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court makes a decision that here's the decision. The Supreme Court says that the bakery had the right to have for their religious beliefs,
the right of refusal
to refuse service because the right to practice your religion needs to be protected. Right. That makes sense.
Chick-fil-A and who was the other toy company? Not Toys R Us, but another one. Yeah.
But that all makes sense, right?
Yeah, sure. It's America. We're free to do what we want and people can decide whether they want to patronize that bakery or not.
So CNN's report says the justices discussed this case behind closed doors and the final action resembled a compromise meant to appease dueling sides. To be sure, it's a win for Melissa Aaron Klein, the bakers, as it wipes away a lower court opinion that went against them. As for the LGBT rights supporters, they were hoping the court would simply deny the client's petition outright. It's a longstanding legal rule that the freedom of religion is not a license for businesses to discriminate, said Jennifer Pfizer, a lawyer from Lambda Legal. Because they go for the heavy hitters at CNN when they need legal experts.
CNN is just so dystopian. It's amazing.
So CNN is making a thing out about that. And by the way, I have a question for you.
I hope I can answer it.
I hope you can too, because it is so troubling me. A few days ago, I was in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, you know how I know Boulder? My friend Bubba Fowler, who I used to play with the Bordermen with a folk group back in the 60s, bought a banjo from Boulder, Colorado, an old banjo. They made some of the best banjos you could possibly make. And that's the only reason I know anything about Boulder. But go ahead. I know it's very far left.
So I was in Boulder, Colorado for a few days for a medical symposium.
Of course you were. You put a lime in the coconut and drink it all up. Put the lime in the coconut and call me in the morning.
They have painted, the streets were painted with rainbows.
Of course they are. It's like a little rainbow, you know, it's like Wizard of Oz.
The doors to all the restaurants were painted with rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
And the little roadmap on the Uber app that shows where your Uber car is was all in rainbows.
So the woman meets you at the restaurant and says, "Welcome to our restaurant."
And I got there and I'm like, I feel like I'm trapped in a box of Lucky Charms because I can't. And they were not magically delicious. But anyways,
yeah.
So here's my question to you, Chuck Woolery, because you are a sage, wise man.
Question, man. Mm-hmm.
Jesus gets Christmas and Easter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Presidents get one day. 4th of July gets a barbecue.
LGBT gets a month.
Why do they get a month?
Because it's who they are. They're really important. And if you know, I'll tell you what drives me nuts. Here's what drives me nuts. I would like to have someone who's gay, and we've had several guys who are gay on our show who, you know, don't necessarily think like we do and anything else, but I've never really posed this question. I'm curious to see what they think about this transgender thing where men are competing with women. And I've failed to ask them that question, coming from a gay man's perspective or a gay woman's perspective. So I don't know whether they adopt that into that whole gayness thing or not. But what was your question?
Why do they have a whole month when even Jesus only gets 2 days?
Well, because of the left media. That's why. It's the progressive media. They always they try to do this, and they actually are very successful at doing this, and they have been in the past. And I'm not discounting the intelligence of the American people, but they give you the image that a small group is a huge group of people, when in fact it's ridiculously small. It's not even a big part of our culture. It's not a big, but they try to make it part of our culture and an important part of our culture to beat down anybody who disagrees with it or whatever. I mean, I don't know why, but they do. And they make them look like it's like taking a Democrat minority and making it look like it's just an incredible over the top. Everybody's a socialist, and not everybody is a socialist, but they do this with everything. It's their model. And they try to impress us with numbers that don't exist and with ideas that are not that haven't been moderated by the right, by everything. Everything is acceptable, no matter how bizarre it is. I mean, you know, taking children from the womb at 9 months and then making them comfortable and deciding whether to kill them or not. That's normal. Well, it's not normal. And most Americans don't agree with it, but they would make you think that they do. So it's the same thing with every group that they have, no matter what it is, they blow it way out of proportion and call it normal.
And they lie and distort terms and distort words.
Well, they have to.
So what are the
big deals? I mean, if you want to look at something, if you want to look at an area of our business, yours and my business, mostly yours, if you want to look at an area that overblows everything, look at the advertising world. I defy you to watch a half an hour of a show without seeing advertisements that have minorities as majorities. That you, no matter who it is, I'm not just talking about minority groups of, you know, black, yellow, whatever. I'm talking about just minorities in general, whether it's gay, whatever it is, whether, you know, whatever is a minority position is always pushed as the majority, and we're all to accept it. And that happens more in advertising, to my knowledge, than it happens anywhere else except movies.
Yeah, it's pretty prevalent. I mean, there's a guy who bought with this little unincorporated town here in Michigan called Hell, Michigan. It's made up of like 3 buildings,
mm-hmm.
and it's been for sale. So apparently a guy temporarily bought it so he could call it Gay Hell, Michigan. So he could rename it. And I'm like, you think that's Gay Hell? You need to go to Boulder, Colorado, if you want to see Gay Hell, where the streets are rainbow colored.
Well, I'll give you an example of something. You remember the song Lucumba, Texas by Waylon and Willie? And yeah.
Yes.
You know how big Lucumba, Texas is?
I don't.
3 houses.
Wow, that's small. That's about that's about the same as Hell, Michigan.
It's like 3 houses. It's insane. You know, it's nothing. It's not big. It's not a, you know, if you're a tourist, you go through it before you realize you've been there, unless you see the sign.
Well, folks, let me tell you what else the left is up to now, because the Supreme Court is swinging to a conservative bent. And it's not massively conservative.
Yeah, I know. It's not. A lot of people thought it was going to be far more conservative than it is, but it's not.
It's not because of John Roberts. We still have John Roberts there.
I'll never get that. But, you know, it's the way it is. I mean, look, you remember when Reagan appointed, what was her name? She was the first woman on the Supreme Court.
Sandra Day O'Connor?
Sandra Day O'Connor. And he just believed that she was a great conservative. She wasn't. She wasn't. She was very middle-of-the-road, left-leaning almost. And you got guys like, you know, all these presidents. I always say you never really know what a Supreme Court nominee is going to be like until they get there. Now, the left, you can depend on them being totally left and totally biased to the left. But when it comes to the right, it's really tough. You can't figure out who's who and what's what.
Well, because the pendulum is swinging.
With the exception of the black guy. What's his name?
Clarence Thomas?
Clarence Thomas. You can always depend on Clarence Thomas. He's awesome.
He is a good judge.
He's the most hated one on the, you know, whatever.
And he was, you know, attacked wrongfully by Joe Biden.
Of course he was, yeah. But listen, Anita Hill's still going to vote for Joe.
Oh, good.
Yeah, even though she was mistreated by Joe.
So here's what's happening. This happened under FDR. FDR tried to alter the Supreme Court.
Well, he wanted to stack it.
Right. He wanted to go up to 14 judges so that he could pile in a bunch of liberal judges because the court wasn't ruling the way he wanted.
Right. Democrats want to do that now.
That's exactly what they want to do right now. Right now, folks, you better watch your court. Right now, the Democrats are pushing. There's a couple of things they're trying to push. One they're trying to push is more judges, which they can do without a constitutional amendment, by the way.
Yep.
Another thing they're pushing for is term limits on Supreme Court justices, which they couldn't do that without a constitutional amendment. They would need an amendment to do that. But the whole point is here, folks, because the court is changing, now you're going to see the left go after the Supreme Court and try to alter the actual court. If they can't alter who's on it, they're going to try to actually alter the court itself. And this is legitimately going to happen. Hey, Chuck, we need to take a little break here and let you chat about your buddies over at Blue Emu.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you know, this stuff's really interesting. It really is. It's fast. You don't stink. And this episode of Blunt Force Truth is brought to you by Blue Emu Pain Relief Products. Now, I've been in show business for many years now. You all know that. I'm not slowing down, but I can use a little help every now and then. And Blue Emu's family of products are made in America and have become a staple of my life. The deep penetrating formula of Blue Emu Original is best for supporting my muscles and joints, and I'm sure you've seen it. It's on the shelf in a blue and white jar. And by the way, I also use Maximum Arthritis for any arthritic pain, and we all are getting to the point where we have that now. And the Lidocaine Cream for numbing pain relief. So not only do these Blue Emu formulas work great, there's no chill, no burn, no order. No odor. There's plenty of order, but no odor. Blue Emu. Yeah. Blue Emu works fast and you won't stink.
Where can I find it?
Well, you can find it at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Amazon, and other fine retailers.
All right. Excellent. Excellent work.
And no order. And no order. And no odor either. Yeah.
They are not. No, if they had no order, they would be crazy liberals, but they are not.
That's right. They are not.
So AOC, give me a say. AOC went after Amazon, Chuck, Monday night.
Who hasn't she gone after?
Okay, but she's accusing Amazon of paying starvation wages to its employees.
Okay. Doesn't everybody?
Amazon's lowest paid worker is $15 to $21 an hour.
How do they consistently get these things wrong and are never held accountable for it? I mean, you just held them accountable. But will the rest of the country hold him accountable? Will the news hold him accountable? With
actually,
anybody who's
Bezos
looking at,
did.
Well, of course, I mean, well, that's Bezos. It's his bailiwick. Why wouldn't he?
But think about it. He's a far-left liberal, and he came out against her for attacking him.
Well, sure. I can understand that. It's personal.
Now, she also came out and says that, I can't believe it that America is running concentration camps again.
On the border, yes.
We have concentration camps,
right? Oh, my gosh. She has no clue what a concentration camp was, apparently. Then, as we're trying to take care of children that we have no idea where they came from, who they belong to. I mean, it's like we are overwhelmed at this border, and there's no reason for it. It's, I mean, Trump's going to round up, he's going to start rounding up illegals by the millions, he said, using ICE starting, what, next week or in 10 days, something like that. That's and the left is going insane. Now, who did this before? Do you know who did this before?
Obama riled some up.
No, we have to go back farther than that.
I don't know. Did Clinton do it?
Nope. Farther than that.
Oh, keep going. Who did it?
In the 50s,
ooh.
Dwight Eisenhower had an operation. Now, this is his word for it, not mine, called Operation Wetback.
Oh, that's politically incorrect.
That's what he called it back in the 50s. And Operation Wetback literally went out and got over a million illegals and sent them back to their own countries. It worked.
How brutal.
He did it. It's the only time in our history that I know that we actually cleaned up the illegal problem. And, of course, it came right back because Congress couldn't stand for that. And he could have Koch. By the way, the Koch brothers are kind of interesting. The Koch brothers.
Like the drink.
Yeah, the left has constantly demonized the Koch brothers and everything else. But the Koch brothers, they're for open borders. They want all these illegals coming in. Well, so I guess they're going to now start giving their money to Democrats instead of Republicans. Democrats who have excoriated them over the years are now going to become their friends.
So another thing that they, besides for the concentration camps at the border.
Yeah. What else?
AOC and the left has now says President Trump has reopened Japanese internment camps.
It's because he's sending these people, some of them, to these camps in the Midwest that FDR, their
yes.
highly honored president, sent the Japanese to.
That's kind of where I'm going with this is. So the president is repurposing real estate.
You're surprised I know this stuff, aren't you?
I know
tell the truth.
No, I know you know it. The president is reusing real estate that a Democrat once used to intern innocent Japanese American citizens.
Exactly. Just because of their skin color and their origin during the Second World War. And not only did he put them in internment camps, he made them sell all their businesses in California and around the country. He devastated their lives.
And because the president is reusing the real estate, that makes him the monster.
You know, there were a lot of families in that internment camp during the Second World War who had sons who were in the army fighting for us against Japan.
We had that in my own family, Chuck.
Really?
Yeah. In our family, my great grandmother, who was from Italy, mm-hmm. had seven sons in the Royal Air Force, my grandfather and his brothers.
Yes.
And she lived in England and Great Britain, and she was put into a concentration camp by the British because she was Italian.
Now, it wasn't a concentration camp like you think of the Nazis concentration.
It was nothing like the Nazi concentration camps. But she was put into a lockdown facility because she was born in Italy, even though she raised seven sons to fight for the crown.
Amazing, isn't it? Just amazing, off track we can get because of fear.
So an interesting story. My grandmother wrote a letter to Winston Churchill. And telling Winston Churchill what a crime this is, how all these young men, her husband, my grandfather, were fighting in the Royal Air Force, so on and so forth, how disgraceful it was. And her and my grandfather got a letter back from Winston Churchill, and the letter authorized my grandfather to go take her out.
Really? Do you have that letter? I mean, is that something? What an incredible thing that would. Boy, you should find that out. I mean, that'd be incredible to have that letter, you know, framed and put on your wall. I would.
And my grandfather said he walked into this
facility.
Either
that or take it to Pawn Stars. Sorry?
Yeah. and he walked into this facility where she was at, and he's in his full uniform, and he walks in and he says his mother's on her hands and knees scrubbing a floor. And he doesn't see her. She doesn't see him approaching. And he said he walked in. My grandfather said he walked in and he literally kicked that bucket across the floor of the place, reached down and picked her up and took her home. But Churchill did the right thing.
What a great story. I've never heard that story. We've known each other for a long time. I've never heard that story.
Yeah. And that's Churchill did the right thing.
And of course, this.
Yes.
This bracelet, Royal Air Force, from a friend of mine who fought from 1938 through the end of the war and was mustered out, and his company made him this bracelet, and he became a friend of mine. And when I got my license to fly, but my instrument rating, he gave me one of his little sweetheart wings and told me to copy his bracelet, and I would be the other person who had one of these. And I've felt honored by it, and so I wear it all the time, and I'm very proud of it. He was married to Judy Garland, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's her first husband.
So, quick comment for you, Senator Dianne Feinstein. This is her comment. I want to give you the comment. Mm-hmm. Senate Republicans are stacking the federal courts. The speed with which nominees are moving through the Senate is proof enough.
Praise God and hallelujah. It's the one thing that Mitch McConnell is actually accomplishing and doing for the Republic.
All nominees must be thoroughly reviewed, regardless of the party in power, to ensure these judges are qualified for lifetime appointments.
Oh, yeah, they're not qualified. Not like those Obama judges. No, Clinton judges.
This is the speed in which these judges are moving through. Now, this should tell you everything about the Democratic Party. The number of days that it is taking to confirm a federal judge at this very moment is 412 days.
Yes. Stuck in mud like, yeah, well, whatever.
So who else but a Democratic senator?
I think 412 days is really speedy.
Yes. 412 days is a blinding rate to be approving a judge. Mm-hmm. And folks, when you think about those 412 days is all happening because the Democrats keep going through procedural moves to stop the votes on these judges. And while this is going on, now let me tell you, these are the people who care. These are the people who
are the people who gave you the Ninth Circuit. That's who these people are.
But these are the people that have all the compassion. These are the people who don't want to have concentration camps at the border. These are the people who don't put little children in cages. These are the people who won't.
Because all those pictures were from the Obama era, not the Trump era, when they were in cages, which I find hysterical.
But in reality, these are the people that will not even approve the confirmation of judges who can go to the border and hear these people's cases so that we can adjudicate their problems.
Well, they don't want, they want open borders. They want as many people as they want to crush us.
Because one of the things we need at the border is more judges to be able to hear these asylum claims. Right. But it takes 412 days to get a judge voted on by Democrats.
They won't give them any money either.
They are doing everything they can possibly do
to thwart all the advancement Trump is trying to make. Of course they are. It's who they are. It's what they do.
They have become, I know I sound crazy, they have become the party of lawlessness.
Hey, listen, I was listening to Bernie Sanders the other day, surprise, surprise. And I went through the Communist Manifesto, and it was exactly taken from a certain page in 1938 of the Communist Manifesto. It was word for word what they wanted for their country at the time. And it was free health care. It was free college. It was free. It was all that stuff, and promising free jobs and free houses. It's all the same stuff that he was promoting. And by the way, Elizabeth Warren is promoting the same thing. Kamala Harris is. Listen, the left is as close to Marxism as you can possibly get without literally saying that's who we are, because they'll never do that. It took them forever to even claim they were socialists, but then they had to tack on a little thing. Well, we're not just socialists. We're Democrat socialists, which is different, and it's not. So they're constantly trying to disguise who they are. They're constantly, just turning into something else. They're like shapeshifters. That's a perfect example of who they are. They're shapeshifters. You think you're looking at one thing. Do you ever watch John Carter, the movie John Carter?
I know the movie, yes.
Did you watch it?
It's been a long time ago.
I suggest you watch John Carter. It's number one. It's a great movie anyway. It was panned by everybody, but it's really a good movie. I saw it for the third time. And here's what a certain person who controlled the universe had to do. This is what they were. They had about five or six of these guys. They never died. They lived forever. And they controlled everything. And their purpose was to control the demise of every civilization. And then raise up new ones. And then, because they never died, they were bored. It was a game to them. So what they were capable of doing is, while people are watching this show right now and looking at you and looking at me, they would look at me, and all of a sudden, within a second, I would be you and you would be me. I could shapeshift that quickly. They could turn themselves into an old lady, into a mercenary, into whatever shape they wanted to. They could assume that identity, speak like them, look like them. This is exactly what Democrats do.
That's a Democrat.
They are shapeshifters. That's what they are.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you've got guys... But you've got people like Beto O'Rourke, who's on the campaign trail saying, just tell me what you want me to be and I'll be that.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any. There's really no substance to me. Just tell me what you want in the president and I'll pretend to be that for you so you can vote for me.
Joe Biden's doing basically the same thing, too.
Because I was born to be the president.
Yeah, right. Of something.
I was born for this.
Yeah.
This is what I do. Chuck, I want to next week. I've done a bunch of research here, and the team has. Next week, we're going to do a deep dive on Bernie Sanders.
And I'm going to have to.
Well, what I'm thinking about doing is I'm going to do a deep dive on several of the front runners.
Yeah.
Because there's so much about these people that people don't know, because the media won't bring it out. When you start to see Bernie Sanders, you listen to next week's show, you're going to see Bernie Sanders is not a Democratic socialist. Bernie Sanders is a communist. He is a communist.
He's a communist Marxist. Of course he is. I just said that by talking about his speech.
Right. This is a guy who spent 10 days during his honeymoon in Russia.
No. He loves Russia. He loved Stalin. He loved Khrushchev. He loved all of them. And interestingly enough, what I find really amusing about this whole Russia hoax thing on Trump is it has always been the Democrat Party who have been friendly with Russia. I mean, Ted Kennedy, when he was running against Reagan, no one knows this stuff unless you tell them. Ted Kennedy had his surrogate from California, a senator from California, go and talk to the KGB about Ronald Reagan. I mean, they've had a symbiotic relationship with Russia for 100 years, and they won't admit it, but it's true.
Well, look at Obama.
Of course. I mean, it's so obvious. I don't know how the American people miss it if they do. Maybe they don't. Maybe I'm just
no evidence that Trump had any contact with Russians. But Obama sends a message on a hot mic that I'll be much more flexible after my next election. And that means nothing.
You know, Stroke have a little text between them that says Barack Obama wants to know everything we're doing.
Correct.
You think they told him?
Of course they did.
Of course they did.
Yeah. Of course they told him everything.
Yeah, of course, you know, when you get to this stage of it, you got to prove these things. They can't just become hearsay or what you think and assume that happened, but you have to prove it somehow. And maybe they'll be able to, and maybe they won't. I don't know.
Now, Chuck, I'm going to ask every listener to do me a favor, to do us a favor.
Yeah.
As we move the podcast over to All Being With Podcast One and being at iTunes, we'd like to ask everybody, go to iTunes or Podcast One, subscribe to the podcast, download the most recent few episodes. I'm going to ask you to download those episodes. Remember that it is free to listen to it on iTunes, free to listen to it on the Podcast One app. And also, I'm going to ask you to send a link of this show to two people. Just take two people that you think might enjoy the show or two people that you think it would irritate the hell out of.
don't irritate your friends. I mean, good night. You know, life is hard enough.
And take two people and send them a link to the show and say, download this. And that would be, I will be forever in your debt, our dear listeners, if you would do that for us.
What will you do for them?
We will continue to bring the truth forward two times every week.
Very well said. Well, thanks everybody for listening to Blunt Force Truth today. I hope you enjoyed our last podcast on Twitter. And as Mark said, find us on Podcast One. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.